which is 5 minutes of dictation, at 200 words per minute. Ready? Begin. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, now that you have heard all of the evidence and the arguments, the moment has come for me to instruct you as to the law governing you in this case. You will each be given a photocopy of these instructions to refer to during your deliberations. Although you as jurors are the sole judges of the facts, you must follow the law as stated in the instructions of the court and apply the law so given to the facts as you find them from the evidence before you. Counsel have quite properly referred to some of the governing rules of law in their statements. If, however, you think there is any difference between the law as stated by the lawyers and that as stated by the court in these instructions, you are obligated to follow my instructions. You are not to single out one instruction alone as stating the law, but you must consider all of the instructions as a whole. Neither are you to be concerned about the wisdom of any particular rule of law. Regardless of what opinions you may have as to what the law ought to be, it would be a breach of your sworn duty to base a verdict on any other view of the law than that given in the instructions of the court. You have no right to disregard or give special attention to any one instruction, nor to question the wisdom or correctness of any rule I may state to you. You are not permitted to substitute, nor to follow your own notion or opinion as to what the law is or ought to be. It is your obligation to apply the law as I explain it to you, regardless of the consequences. You were selected and sworn as jurors in this case to try the issues of fact that are before you. You are to perform this duty without bias or prejudice as to anyone. The law does not permit jurors to be ruled by sympathy, prejudice, or public opinion. You must weigh each piece of evidence with care and with no prejudice, and then you must follow the law as stated by the court and reach a just verdict. In determining the facts, you must rely on your own memory of the testimony you heard. What the lawyers have said in their opening statements and in their closing arguments, in their objections or in their questions they asked, is not evidence. You must remember that the question put to a witness is not the evidence. It is the answer which is the evidence. Nothing that I may have stated during this trial or may state in these instructions should be considered by you as evidence, nor as a comment on the evidence. The stipulations which were read to you during the trial are part of the evidence. The exhibits which were received are part of the evidence as well. You will have with you in the jury room all of the exhibits except those that were used to demonstrate some of the testimony. Exhibits which were offered by counsel but refused by me are not evidence and must not be considered by you. You are the sole judges of the facts, the rulings I have made, my comments and questions to counsel, and any questions I may have asked of witnesses during the course of the trial must not be taken as stating any opinions on the facts in this case. You are expressly instructed that the court has no opinion as to what the verdict should be in this case. As I told you many times during this trial, your verdict must be based solely on the evidence presented in this courtroom and in accordance with the law given in these instructions. You must completely disregard anything which you may have read, seen, or heard outside of this courtroom that in any way relates to the issues in this trial. It would be unfair to consider anything that is not in evidence because the lawyers do not have the chance to challenge the accuracy of it or to make comments about it. You must not allow public opinion to play any role in your deliberations. In short, you would violate your oaths as jurors if you allowed yourselves to be swayed in any way by anything said or written by those who do not have a duty to ensure a fair trial of these charges. As I told you before the trial began, the lawyers have the duty, as advocates for their clients, to object and ask for the court to rule on whether a piece of evidence can be received. You must not consider or discuss those objections or draw any conclusions from the court's comments and rulings. The rules of evidence place strict limits on what the jury can fairly consider in deciding the facts in any case. The attorneys share with the court the duty to apply and enforce those rules by objecting at times to things that may be offered as evidence. They also have a duty to prepare their case for trial, and it is common practice for them to talk to witnesses and to give the information that they have gathered to the opposing attorney in advance of the trial. A witness is free to speak with the lawyers or to decline to speak with them. The charges in this matter are contained in an indictment which was returned by a federal grand jury. An indictment is nothing more than a notice of the charges that the government intends to prove. It is not evidence of any kind that the defendant committed the crimes in which he is charged. The basic principle of our law is that the defendant is presumed to be innocent of every charge brought against him. His pleas of not guilty in this case put in dispute all of the charges alleged in the indictment. Welcome to the RPR Testimony Examination Warm-Up Material.